As we're going to discuss, it's going to be, if you follow the syllabus that was, on Why Utara was emailed to you at the beginning, Mar McComas on these topics, if you follow them, most of the things that we'll be quoting are found there. Anyway, the Mechilta, the Rashbi, comments on the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, Kol Malacha Lo Ye'asa Bohem, stated regarding Yontif, that Hu Adin, says the Medrash, Lo Ye'asa Goy Malach Techa, not only should you not do Malacha, but Kol Malacha Le'asa Bohem, even a Goy should not perform Malacha for you on Yontif, and Kal V'chomer from Yontif to Shabbos. So the Smag quotes this Mechilta the Rashbi, and he expresses some measure of doubt as to whether or not, perhaps we see from here, that the source for the Isav Amir Lenachri Midairaisa. The Beis Yosef quotes this in Hilchos Amir Lenachri, and he concludes that it's only Midrabanan, but the Smag does have this suffix, and Rashi, in fact, on that Pasuk in Parashas Boy, Perikud Beis, quotes from the Mechilta, that even a guy should not do Malacha for you on Shabbos, and the Ramban, there in Parshas Bo, disagrees with Rashi. Why are you bringing this in his comment on the Pasuk? And in fact, it's only in Asmachta. This whole discussion is quoted by the Shaar HaTzion in Reish Mem Gimel, Sivkat in Zion, that perhaps is an Issa Midaraisa, a source for the Issa of Amir Lenachri, but in fact, we assume that it's only Midarabanan. The Malbim has a fantastic explanation in his comments on Parshas Bo. Why did we need an Asmachta for Amir Lenachri? And he develops possibility based on the Taz's argument in both in Archaim and in Yoredeya that Chazal cannot be Geyser against something that says explicitly in the Pasuk otherwise, and that we have Psukim that indicate that a Nachri is allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos. So we needed, in order for Chazal to Aser Amir Lenachri, even though it's only the Rabbanan, we needed a Pesach, we needed some way that wouldn't be in contradiction blatantly to Psukim that imply that a Nachri can do Malacha on Shabbos. So perhaps this is an opening, a source, a precedent, for Chazal to make an Issa of Amir Lenachri Midrabanan, at least is from this Pasuk in Parashas Bo, Kol Malacha Lo Ye'asa Bohem. Even though we assume generally that the Issa of Amir Lenachri is only Midrabanan, there is perhaps one situation in which Amir Lenachri could constitute an Issa Midrabanan. That's not based on the Pasuk in Parashas Bo, but perhaps the Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. The Pasuk says, Sheshes Yomim Tasim Asech of Yom Ashvi Tishbois, L'man yanuach sharcha v'chamarcha v'nofesh ben amascha v'hager. That the ger should also rest on Shabbos. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamis, daf mem vav, I think, that it's not referring to a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek is mamash Yisrael. What kind of ger is it referring to? It's referring to a ger taishav, a nachri who's formally accepted to, upon himself to perform the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. So Rashi writes in that Gemara, you see that a ger taishav is obligated to keep Shabbos, which is itself a very difficult Rashi. How could a Ger Toshav be obligated to keep Shabbos? Ask Tosfos on that Rashi. This is not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Ger Toshav formally obligated himself to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but not more. In fact, the Goyish Shavas is Chayiv Misa, and this Ger Toshav is still a Goy, so how could Rashi hold that he's obligated to keep Shabbos? What then is the Gemara referring to, the Pasuk referring to? V'novich ben amoschav ager. It's not a Ger Tzedek. And it can't be a Ger Toshav, says Tosfos. Ger Toshav is not obligated to keep Shabbos, Rashi's opinion notwithstanding. So what is the Gemara referring to, that a Ger Toshav is obligated in Shabbos, says Tosfos? It refers to Amir Lenachri to a Ger Toshav. Even though Amir Lenachri to a regular guy is only the Rabbanan, when you ask a Ger Toshav, a guy who's formally accepted to keep upon himself the Shabbos, even though he's obligated anyway, but he accepts formally to keep the Shabbos, it's been in Noach, then you could have an Isav Amir Lenachri Deiraisa. So you'll say, but we don't have a Ger Toshav anymore. What kind of Ger Toshav? Who's accepting upon themselves to keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach? However, if you remember from last year, from the Shnas HaShemitah, part of the Heter Mechira of Rav Kook is based upon the assumption that the Arabs, the whole Heter of selling them the Kark in Eretz Yisrael, even though it's Isav to sell a Goy Kark in Eretz Yisrael, but if the Arabs have the status of a Ger Toshav, wouldn't it be a violation of the Pasuk of Lo Sechanem, Lo Titan Lem Chaniyah Bekarka, you'll be allowed to sell Karka and Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs because they have the status of Gerei Toshav. And Cook makes the whole argument that they do have the status of Gerei Toshav because they're Nizer in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The Chazon Ish disagrees and he says, just being Nizer and you have to do so, also says the Chazon Ish, Mipnei Itstava Behen Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a part that the Rambam mentions in order to qualify as a Ger Toshav. And they clearly do not accept to do so because Moshe Rabbeinu told them to do it. So the Chazon Ish argues with the Heter Mechira that they don't have the status of Gerei Toshav. But if you're going to accept Rav Kook's Heter Mechira, it should come out of Chumrah. Then you can't have a person who you're selling the karka to in Eretz Yisrael also be the Shabbos guy on Shabbos. Because if he has the status of Gerei Toshav, when it comes to the Heter Mechira, he should have the status of a Gerei Toshav when it comes to Amir Unachri as well, it should be also Midai Raisa. Rav Kook was already aware of this issue, and in the Truva and the Mishpat Kain about the Hetter Mechira, distinguishes between Ger Taishav vis-a-vis the Hetter Mechira and Shvias and Ger Taishav vis-a-vis Shabbos. But it's a complicated distinction. Okay, so there could be one instance of Amir Unachri that is Daraisa, but for the most part, Amir Unachri is only Midrabanan. Why were Chazal Geyser against Amir Unachri? So there are three reasons that are mentioned by the Rishonim. The first is the Rambam writes in Hilcha Shabbos, because you might come to do it yourself. If you're allowed to ask Unachri to do it, you might do it yourself. Rashi writes in Maseches Avodah Zarah that it's also because of the pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya that's quoted by the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Mimitzoy Chafotzecha V'daber Dovar Shelo Yehei Diburcha B'Shabbos K'Diburcha B'Chol. The way you speak on Shabbos should not be the way you speak during the week. On Shabbos, one is not allowed to speak about Malachos. And if you're going to ask an Achri to do a Malacha for you, you'll be speaking about Malachos. Rashi above Metziah is a different reason. Rashi above Metziah's reason is because even though Ein Shlichus La'akum, Shlichus is a concept that's only found by Klal Yisrael, but Yei Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. There is Shlichus to Nachrim L'chumra. And so if you ask an Achri to do it, it's tantamount to as if Midrabanan, to as if you did it yourself. Why does Rashi himself, the Rambam can have his reason. Rashi has his reason, V'daber Dover. But why does Rashi need two reasons? Rashi in Avodah Zarah is one reason, Rashi in Bava Metziah has a different reason. And Yei Shlichus L'chumra. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and it's found in the Avnei Nezer, and the Stipler has a piece about this, explain that Rashi needed both reasons to account for the different situations in which Amir Unachri would apply. See, because if it would only be because of Vidavir Dovar, Shaloi Hei Dibucha B'Shabbos K'Dibucha B'Cho, would only apply on Shabbos if I asked Unachri to do the Malacha for me. What if I asked him on Erev Shabbos to do it on Shabbos? It wouldn't be a problem because of Vidavir Dovar. But if, let's say, I asked him on Shabbos to do a malacha for me Motzei Shabbos, that would also be a problem. But it wouldn't account for this asking Unachri Erev Shabbos to do malacha for you on Shabbos. And Rashi felt that that was also as well. So therefore, Rashi needed the other reason of Yesh Lichus L'chumra, that if I asked Unachri to do it, it's a tantamount as if I did it myself, Midrabanan. Because the Shlucha Shalom Kamoisa. So that's why you're not allowed to ask Unachri on Friday to do malacha for you on Shabbos, because that would be Yesh Lichus La'akum L'chumra. But if it would only be because of Yesh Lichus La'akum L'chumra, wouldn't account for the situation of asking him on Shabbos to do something for you on Sunday, which is also Aser. So in order to account for all the different situations which are included in the Yisav Amir Unachri, Rashi brought the two reasons. One of a Dabidavar, and one because of Yesh Lichus L'chumra. The Avnei Nezer suggests that perhaps the Agos Maimonides also holds that this reason of Rashi, and that Rambam who said that the Yisav Amir Unachri is because you might come to do it yourself, the Agos Maimonides writes that one is not allowed to ask Unachri on Friday to buy something for you on Shabbos. So the Avnei Nezer assumes, why would that be Aser? If not for the reason of Rashi, that Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. So he thinks he has another reason that supports Rashi. Is this sheet of the Hagos Maimonides. That's why you're not allowed to ask him Friday to buy something for you on Shams. The Shechter in the Eretz HaTzvi suggests that perhaps Hagos Maimonides is actually espousing something else. He's telling us that there's a certain class of Isurim that has nothing to do with whether or not you ask the Nachri to do it. It still remains your Isur. See, even though I asked the Nachri to purchase for me on Shabbos, since I'm the one who's going to be kind of the item, that's it doesn't matter that the Nachri is the one who purchased it for me, I might come to right. See, because the Isur of Mekach u'Memkar on Shabbos is not perhaps the act of engaging in the sale. Perhaps it's because once I am kona something, I might come to write it down. We discussed this in Hilchos Bishul. So even though I'm not the one who's actually engaging in the sale is being done on my behalf, I might come to write it. So perhaps the Agos Maimonides is telling us something else, that there's a whole class of Isurim where the Isur of Amir Unachri doesn't help at all, wouldn't lower it to be a Shvus to Shvus. Even though Mekach u'Memkar on Shabbos is only Midrabanan, and here I ask the Nachri to buy it for me, it could be since it's being bought on your behalf, and Mekach u'Memkar is Gzeira Shem Yichtov, even though the Nachri is the one engaging in the sale, since I'm the one who's taking possession of the item, I might come to write it down. Rabbi Kiva Eger makes a similar argument with regards to Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. That normally, of course, we sell the chametz on Erev Pesach before the time of Isa Chametz. However, if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, we're left with a dilemma, when do you sell the chametz? If we're going to sell the chametz on Friday, we'll have a problem because people want to eat their challahs on Shabbos. So, unless you exclude all the chametz we're going to eat on Shabbos, it gets complicated. So Rabbi Akiva Eger suggests, why don't we just sell it on Friday, that it shouldn't take effect until Shabbos morning, at the time of the Issa chametz, right before. So Rabbi Akiva Eger is not sure if you can do that, because even though you contracted the sale on Friday, the Maaseh Kinyan took place on Friday, but the Chalois Kinyan, when the ownership actually transfers, it's only going to be on Shabbos, and you might come to write it down then in the middle of Shabbos, even though you took care of it on Friday. Well, that's why Rav Shechter suggests that the reason why the Ramah wouldn't allow a person to ask a Nachri to put food back on top of an uncovered flame on Shabbos, even if HaChazara, putting fully cooked food on top of an uncovered flame, is only the Rabbanan on Shabbos, because you might come to stoke the coals, or it looks like you're cooking, and shvus to shvus might be mutter b'makoy mitzvah, as we'll get to, which it is. So over here, I'm only doing an isa midrabbanan of hachazar, and I'm asking an achri to do it. I should have lowered it to a shvus to shvus, and it's mutter b'makoy mitzvah Shabbos. We can't allow it because the Ramah didn't allow it, because even though the achri is the one who's putting it back on, simply having the food on top of the coals itself might encourage me to stoke the coals. Maybe the food got cold, or the coals aren't hot enough. So even though the Nachri is the one who put it there, that's kind of an Issa which is created by the situation, I might come to stoke the coals myself, so it doesn't become a Shvus to Shvus. So perhaps there's a whole class of Isurim where Amir Nachri doesn't even lower to an Issa Midar, you know, Shvus to Shvus, it remains the same Issa that it was before, because it's created by the situation, not by the act. Like HaChazara, perhaps Mekahu Memkar, we discussed at that point, maybe Tikkun Kli Shir, you can't ask an Achri to play music for you on Shabbos, a Makoy Mitzvah, like a Bar Mitzvah, or Sheva Brachas, because even though the Achri is the one who's playing the music, if the instrument breaks, you might come to fix it, Gzeir Shem Yisak and Kli Shir, so perhaps it's created by the situation, not by the act. Just like there are some Isurim, which Shagos Maimonides tells us, are not affected by the fact that you asked an Achri to do it, the Isur applies, to, you know, is still in force on you, because it's created by the situation. Perhaps there are some Isurim midrabanan where once you ask an Achri to do it, it becomes Heter Gomer. The Isur is associated with the act, just like we have Isurim that are created by the situation, and even though you ask an Achri to do it, it doesn't become a Shvus to Shvus, because you're still in that same situation. Perhaps there are some Isurim that are limited to the act, and if you ask an Achri to do it, it's not even now Aser midrabanan, it's Heter Gomer. Once I ask an Achri to do it, and he's the one engaging in the act, it becomes Mutter. For example, the Shaar HaTzion has a discussion, Machlokes Achronim, what about an Issa that's only because of Uvda Dechol? It's not proper to do it on Shabbos. You know, very difficult category Isurim to define with rigid terms, but there are some things that are known to be Isurim that are Uvda Dechol. So perhaps if I ask Ganachri to do it, since he's the one who's doing the thing that's not Shabbos-dick, and all I did was ask him, so perhaps it's Heter Gomer in such a situation. The Shaar HaTzion raises that possibility.
On Shabbos or before Shabbos?
On Shabbos. I'm not discussing Malach. I'm discussing Uvda Dechol. And it's not a formal Easter. As long as I'm not the one who did it, the Nachri did it, perhaps it's Mutter. One example of this might be, wasn't again this year, except for, you know, one to two days, but one example of this could be shoveling snow. There's a tshuva in the Tshuvas Lev Avram that discusses what is the Isur in shoveling snow, and you know, there's muksa issues that are involved, but one of the perhaps main Isurim that's discussed by the Paiskim is that of Uvda Dechol.
No one wants to do it during the week either.
So since if the whole issue is one of Uvda Dechol, so the Paiskim suggests, there's machlekes paiskim whether snow is muksa, but assuming we could avoid that issue, or perhaps it's not even relevant if I ask an Achri to do it. If the whole issue is one of the dechol, perhaps if you asked an Achri to do it, it wouldn't be aser at all. Or another example of this is the Prima Gadim, actually in Hilchas Yomtiv, discusses what if I ask an Achri to be meichin from Shabbos to Chol. Hachana from Shabbos to Chol is also because of tircha. Rashi writes it's because you're being teirech shaloi l'teirech on Shabbos. What are you engaging in this activity on Shabbos now for? That's why if there's no tircha involved, it might not be an Isur v'achana at all, which is beyond the scope of our discussion. Okay, but if Isur v'achana on Shabbos is one of tircha, what if I'm not the one who's being tereach? The Nachri is going to be the one who's being tereach, and I didn't ask him to do a formal Isur, I asked him to do a tircha, shalai l'tzareach, but he's the one who's being tereach, not me. So Prima Gadim is not sure, mistapik, whether or not there's an Isur of v'achana on Shabbos if I ask the Nachri to do it. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this discussion, and he's Machmir, but the Marsham in the Das Torah, his comments in Aruch Chaim, is Mekel. I think people are Mekel. Some, it depends who you talk to. Some, I spoke to one of the poskim in yeshiva, Chas v'Shalom, but they talk to other people, they're more open to this. So I think we could be makel if there's an, you know, Shas HaTzorech. The caterers are all makel on this, by the way. You go to a hotel, now we don't bring rice from caterers, but we, it's probably a raya fakert, but the caterers prepare, if you're ever in a hotel, yomtiv, prepare, already says start setting the table, first day yomtiv for second day yomtiv. Why? Because they ask the cater. So most people think because they don't know what they're doing. But there is a tzah lahokel, is if you ask the nachri to set the table, so you're being making from one day yomtiv to the next day yomtiv, since the nachri is the one who did it, perhaps it can be allowed. Or let's say it's in a, you know, Esat Tzerech, a guy's at his in-laws, he wants to pack the suitcase, you know, get out right away, the Shabbos is over, I'm a relative, the minute Shabbos is over, the guy's out the door, you know, so, okay, so if it's Esat Tzerech, so perhaps there is a Yesh Al Milismach. But again, that could be a, this class of Isurim, but once he has the Nachri to do it, it's Heter Gomer. Another possible example of this, but a different situation, is that's discussed by the Ramah. With regards to sweeping the floor, the Rama says you're not allowed to sweep the floor on Shabbos because you might come to be mashve gumos, to smooth out the floor. Even though it's a davar shein miskaven, it's not what your intention is. Your intention is to pick up the crumbs, but it's a psik reishe, it's for sure going to happen. So that's why it's also. Nonetheless, the Rama says that you're allowed to ask a nachri to sweep the floor. Why? Because the main intention is to pick up the crumbs. It's a secondary unintended result, the fact that you smooth out the dirt floor. So, but by the Nachri, since all I asked him to do was a Dover Heter, I asked him to sweep the floor, that fundamentally is Mutter. Just, it's a psikreshe that Malacha is going to occur, that's not central to what I asked him, so writes the Haggaz Baruch Tam, and that Ramah, since that's not inherent to my Amira was for a Dover Mutter, to pick up the crumbs, that's allowed. The fact that it brings about results in a Malacha as well is secondary, and that wasn't included in my Amira, and that's... So therefore, Amir Lenachri could be allowed if it's only a psik reishe. The Ramah brings this up in Hilchos Bishul too. In some Reishon and Gimel, Sif Hei, the Ramah quotes from a Trumas Hadeshin that says, if you put, you're allowed to ask the Nachri to turn on the fire on Shabbos, the heat in the house, because HaKol Chalem Eitzel Hatzina. Then, I could ask the Nachri to put a dish on top of the boiler in the basement, because he has no intention to heat up the dish. He has intention to turn on the boiler, which is allowed, and that's what I asked him to do, which is allowed. Ah, but it's a psigresh, he's going to come to heat up the dish. But says the Ramon, the name of the Trumas Hadeshin, that since that's not inherent in my Amira, it's a secondary unintended result, would be allowed by Amira Lenachri. Again, once he has the Nachri to do it, now it becomes Heter Gomer. For me, it would be also because of psigresh, and the whole lump is a psigresh. To ask a Nachri to do it might make it Heter Gomer. Or Ramesh's example, about if you left the light on it inside the refrigerator and you asked the Nachri to go inside and get it, then he doesn't know that the light is on, or he's not certainly intending for the light. Even if he would know the light is going to turn on, he has no intention for the light, he has intention to get out whatever's in the refrigerator. So if I asked the Nachri to do it, the main one thing what I asked him to do is open the refrigerator door, that's Heter Gomer. The fact that it turns on the light is a psik reishe, secondary unintended result, and that's not what he had in mind for, so it would be Heter Gomer. Or let's say the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa discusses the other example of this. I asked the Nachri to wash the dishes. So can I ask her to wash it in hot water? What's the issue with using the hot water on Shabbos? It's because I take the hot water, if you live in most, you know, homes, not apartment buildings, but most homes, is because they have a hot water heater in the basement. The hot water comes out of the hot water heater, and new cold water comes in. Yeah, but most people don't think about that when they turn on the hot water. The answer is, so why can't we use the hot water on Shabbos? Because it's a psik reishe. The new cold water is going to come in. So it's also, but if I ask the Nachri, and it's a psik reishe, but I'm Yor Nachri, perhaps it's Heter Gomer there, because I asked him to use the hot water, that's fundamentally mutter. The fact that new cold water comes in is unrelated to my Amira. So you could probably ask explicitly the Nachri to wash the dishes in the hot water, because it's a psik reishe. Another time that Amir Lenachri could be entirely mutter. Again, Amir Lenachri for the most part is Asmid Rabbanim, but there are certain situations which we've mentioned that it could be once he has the Nachri to do it becomes Heter Gomer, like of the Ducho, or if it's in a Satircha, like Achana, or if it's a Psik Reishe. Another example of this is the Shulchan Aruch says in Simi Reish Mem Zayin Sif Gimel, if I give the Nachri something to do during the week, and he decides to do it on Shabbos, I'm paying him to do a job, and he decides to do it on Shabbos. So that's a daita de nafshei avad. So I gave it to him, even though I asked him to do a malacha, which would be us if I asked him to do it on Shabbos. I didn't ask him to do it on Shabbos. I gave it to him during the week, and he decides to do it on Shabbos. That's a da'ite d'naf she'ovad. This is the basis for the argument, and then it's mutter. That's he did it on his own. We'll come back to this, because there's a few limitations on that. However, though, this is the basis for the opinion of the Marikash, that's quoted by the Kaf HaChaim. That if I give the Nachri a malacha, an action to do, and the action could be performed in a mutter way, or it could be performed in an iser way, and he decides to do it in a form, in a manner which is aser, that's a diet of the nafshi of it. Just like if I gave it to him in the middle of the week on Wednesday, and he decides to dry clean the clothes on Shabbos, that's his cheshbon, not mine. So too, if I ask him to do something which is neutral, it could be done in iser way, it could be done in a heter way, he decides to do it in iser way, that's a diet of the nafshi of it, and would be a heter gummer. He's discussing over there, if you ask him to wash the floor, but he's discussing in Mitzrayim, the Kaf HaChaim was a Sephardi, and the minhag over there was that they asked the Nachri to wash the floor, and they decide to use a mop. Now, he could have used over there a squeegee, there's no Easter. If the water's not going to run out onto the lawn, the water's just going to evaporate, so to use a squeegee is at the gummer. What's the problem with that? You're just squeegeeing water. And he decides to use the mop. The mop is an Easter Shechita. Dosh. But he could have done the squeegee, and he decides to use the mop. That's his cheshbon, and that's what the Kaf HaChaim said would be allowed. Or let's say you have a situation in the city, if you have a doorman, and the doorman sits at his little table and buzzes you in. He could open the door, get up off, out of his chair, and actually come and open the door. But he doesn't want to do that, so instead he just buzzes you in. So then, again, it's a diet to denaf sheyovet. He's doing that on his own, that's his own choice. So the situation would be allowed. Huh? Yeah.
When you open the door, though, while it's buzzing, aren't you, disrupting some kind of circuit or something? Or would you say that's,
No, the circuit's open. That's what happens when he presses the button. Circuit's open. However, again, there's a limit to this, and that is there has to be the opportunity to do it in a mutter way. For example, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes in the name of Shlomo Zalman has a discussion. What about if Nachri does a malacha kalacha yad? Does that make it a shvus to shvus? I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this. Let's say I ask the Nachri, turn on the light, but do a kalacha yad. Or turn off the light. Turning on the light is going to be a problem. But let's say I say, turn off the light, but do a kalacha yad. So one Amir Lenachri is, that's one Darabanan. It could be turning out the light would be Malach Shein Tzrich Lugufa. Anyway, so it might also already be a double Darabanan. But let's say I ask him, do it with your elbow. Does that lower to be a Kalachar Yad or not? And make it a Shvus to Shvus or not? So in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchas discusses it in the third volume. I don't know where that is now, but in the old editions, which was the third volume, he quotes from a Prima Gadim who was mistopic about this, and he leaves off a Tzarachian. But I think in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchas itself, he quotes from the Eishel Avram that if I ask him to do it Kalach Yad, it makes it into a Shvus to Shvus. And then he says, if he decides to do it in the normal way, I say, turn it on, turn it off with your elbow. He says, what, with my elbow? And he turns it off with his hand. That's your decision. I told you to do a Kalach Yad. He decides to do a Kedarko. That's already adopted in Afshe Yovan. And it's still a shvus to shvus. Okay, so let's say a Nachri does a malacha kalacha yad, makes it into a shvus to shvus. And the Shmir Shabbos Kolchas, he's not sure about it. He leaves off Betzarachiyah. But he quotes those who say, if he does a kalacha yad, it's a shvus to shvus. And if he doesn't listen to me and I tell him to do a kalacha yad, that's a diet to the Nafshe Yavad. He could have done a kalacha yad. So what do you say about this? The Aruch HaShabbos discusses this. What are we going to say? Let's say, now every time I ask a Nachri to do something, anything in the world, why don't we say it's already inherently a shvus to shvus? You know why? He could have done a kalach hayad. Who told you to do it kedarko? Why do I even have to ask him to do a kalach hayad? You know what? Every time I ask the Nachri to do something, it's inherently, automatically a shvus to shvus. Who told you to do a kedarko? You decided on your own, adopted the Nafshe Yavad. Already every Amir Nachri then could be a shvus to shvus. Obviously, so how do we understand that? So the Aruch HaShabbos develops the thesis, which is the following, is that it has to be that there's a possibility of doing it in a mutter way, and it has to be logical that he actually might have done it like that. Now, if I ask him to do it, Kalach HaYad might sivo. I told you to do it, Kalach HaYad. You didn't. That's a daito de nafshei avad. But it has to be something that would be all al daito that's reasonable to assume that he actually might have done it like that. For example, I asked the Nachri to wash the dishes. And there's a sponge there. sponge on Shabbos? No way. So if I have a Shabbos sponge, you know, with the bristles that are more separated, which we're not getting into right now, the whole discussion. But I have a Shabbos sponge, just assume that it's mutter on Shabbos, and I have a regular sponge right next to it, and he decides to use the regular sponge. It's a legitimate argument to say that's a dieter than afshei avad. But let's say I don't have a Shabbos sponge. Well, you know, he could have, or, you know, I guess put the soap on his hand and washed it with his hand like that, you know. So do I say I'm allowed to ask him to wash the dishes? We already said the hot water is fine, but can I ask him to wash the dishes if the only thing sitting by the sink is a sponge? So in my opinion, you can't do that. That's unreasonable. No one would ever think, if I say wash it with the soap on your hands, he has the right to quit or do what I told him. But to assume like that, whoa, you could have washed it by putting soap on your hand and rub it like that, and then no one washes dishes like that. Or the Aruch HaShabbos suggests the other example, another possible example of this is, let's say you're staying in a hotel, and I ask the Nachri, can you please bring me up a pillow? So he says, if you're on the second floor, he could have taken the stairs. Who told you to take the elevator? That's a daita d'nafshei avad. That's reasonable. He says, if you're staying on the 25th floor, and you ask, by the way, can you send up a pillow? You know, so then, if you want to get involved in Shavuos to Shavuos and in Shabbos, okay, maybe taking the elevator is only the Rabbanan, and asking the Nachri to do is only the Rabbanan. Okay, maybe you can go down that route. But it's clearly an issue of Amir and Nachri, because it's unreasonable to ask him to walk up 25 flights of stairs. So in my home, we have a Shabbos sponge, which my wife never washes dishes on Shabbos. The only time we do it is if we have tons of guests. In which case, if I'm having tons of guests imposing on her, we'll try and get someone to help her out. And then we ask him to wash the dishes. So we have a Shabbos sponge there just for, ceremonial purposes. So we can ask the Nachri to wash the dishes. And what she chooses, for whatever reason, every Shabbos she chooses to use the regular sponge. But that's on her. But the possibility is there. Yeah.
I don't know. There's maybe a difference between the washing dishes case and between the 25 floors case. One is just utterly like washing the dishes. Like, well, you could have washed the dishes with your feet and you didn't. And, you had to. That's utterly ridiculous. Something. I think that's a step up, at least. Asking someone
to walk up 25 flights of stairs. Unreasonable. It's unreasonable. Yes. If the elevator would be broken, would they say, walk up 25 flights of stairs? Would they say, I'm sorry, we can't bring you a pillow, the elevator's broken? I have a feeling they would say.
If it's in Israel or something, then for sure they'll say no.
For sure they'll say no.
Like, if it's place, maybe they'll be like, yeah.
What are you talking about? 60th floor? No way.
They'll do it.
They'll do everything. They want my pillow.
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as like the fundamental question of that, we would have eliminated Amir and Nachri with the Shinoi. But we say that it's not so much that Shinoi always is a Shinoi.
Of course not. I'm saying, but even if according to that Shita that it exists, would he argue? Would that Shita argue with the Shmir Shabbos Kachatz Kotz Mnei Shal Avram? Would he argue every single time? You have Amir and Nachri is already inherently Shvus to Shvus. Yeah. Well, let's say, for example, I asked the Nachri to wash the floor. Now he could sit there with a spray and paper towels and a shmata and wash the floor like that. He could do that, but I think that's unreasonable. So if I ask the Nachri to wash the floor, and in America it's not common to use a squeegee, so then I don't think there's any hetter to ask the Nachri to wash the floor. Unless you have a Swifter or a Swiffer or whatever they call that, and you would be okay with him doing that. And I say, you have the option, it's up to you, and your mako to use them on Shabbos. Okay, so then maybe an extension of the wives. So okay, maybe they have the two options. Or to ask the Nachri after a Kiddush, that's why I didn't understand Rabbi Neuberger, but ask the Nachri after a Kiddush, the whole shul is full of crumbs and cookies and shmushed in. I ask him, can you clean the floor? Well, how else is he going to clean the floor if not using the vacuum? So don't tell me he could vacuum during the week. You want him to vacuum before Mincha. So I don't see any other way, unless you're going to tell me whether it's such a vacuum that works without electricity, ever we've all seen them. But you don't have one in the shul. So if you don't have one in the shul and the guy is expected to have the shul clean, I don't think he could vacuum before Mincha. He could, and to sweep won't be good enough, unless you'd be happy with that. Yeah.
Also, is there anything that cases like Odin Nechol and Sikresha and Hachana, those are Heter Gam and Lechatzkiyot?
Maybe there are those who say that. The conceptual category exists. Yeah. Sikresha is the Ramah. That's two places the Ramah says.
No,
it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yep.
Someone has help in their house, so every day they know when it's dirty or when their dishes in the sink, they clean the dishes. So
right.
Let's say you don't have a Shabbos sponge, so you don't say anything. It's probably the Amira of the Amira Lach.
No.
If they just do it.
No.
So they do it on their own, so then.
Yeah, it's a problem. You have to tell them to stop.
Yeah. you have to tell them to stop.
Of course, we'll get to them in 1 second. Yes.
But yeah, I would be happy with them sweeping with the crumbs.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Have you ever tried sweeping a carpet with crumbs in it?
It takes forever.
It doesn't work.
It
becomes more embedded. It's a bad idea.
When
it comes
to cleaning up, don't say, or just
say to clean up.
How else is he going to do it?
He could sweep.
Really?
I mean, well, we're talking about a Kiddush floor, or we're talking about your carpet?
No, a carpeted floor. Or let's say after a Kiddush, you say, clean up. How's he going to clean up? With a bottle of Fantastic and ripped paper towels that he has? I'm saying, how's he going to clean up? There's no other option. If you have a squeegee, and you tell him, I'm fine with whatever you choose. Fine. I'm fine if the person washing dishes uses a Shabbos sponge. It works just as well. But if you have an option, it really doesn't work. If you're going to want to go through a whole box of Swiffer pads, fine. If you have them over there, you don't mind if he goes through two or three boxes of Shabbos and you're makel to use them, okay? Fine. Okay, so there's a limit on that heter of the Marikash as quoted by the Kaf HaChaim. But another example of this, also where, again, it might be heter gomer if the Nachri does malacha, is a situation that's mentioned by the Taz, it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Nun Beis Sivkan Chav Zayin. As if I ask, let's say, the Nachri to go into the room and do something which is mutter. I ask the woman to go into the kitchen and wash the dishes, but there are no lights on in the kitchen. So she turns on the lights. That's for herself, that's not for me. What I asked her to do inherently is mutter. Here she's going in to turn on the lights. That's for herself. Then Rabbi Kiva Eger says that was always the heter in a dark room. If you have a dark room and you want to learn in the room, what you could ask the Nachri is to go in and get me a safer. Go in and get me something. Nachri is going to walk in, turn on the lights. Why does she turn on the lights? She turns on the lights for herself to go find the item which you asked her. But what you asked her to do is inherently mutter. She just can't do it without turning on the lights. That's allowed. Or, for example, common thing. I ask a Nachri to come on Shabbos. Let's say this Nachri we have once in a while when we have a tremendous amount of guests. She's going to come. She doesn't sleep by me. How do I expect her to get there? She's going to take a cab. She's going to drive. She's going to do this. Aren't I really asking her then to drive to my house? No. I'm asking her to come to my house, help me out, do heter things and mutter things in the house. She has to get there somehow, but that's for her. I didn't ask that. It's not for me. So that's why it's allowed to ask a Nachri. That's all based on the heter of the Taz. That's all allowed because the Nachri is fundamentally doing that for himself. What I asked him to do is fundamentally mutter.
Why is it different than the other thing you just quoted, where you say go to come to the floor 25, like whatever, and then
because there the malacha is, the action is, bring me. If I would say to the Nachri, please bring me from Flatbush Shabbos morning this item, then the malacha is bringing. See, here, I'm asking the Nachri, please come to my house. What she's doing for me is not coming. What she's doing for me is in being in the house. If I ask the Nachri, please deliver an item for me or bring an item to me, that's then my amira is focused on the bringing and the coming. I'm not asking the Nachri to come. I don't care how you get here. I don't care if you fly. I don't care if you sleep outside. I'm just saying, please be here Shabbos morning. Whatever you do is your cheshbon. So then that's why it's allowed. But Amira Lenachri is generally focused on the Amira, and if the Amira included no Malacha, so then perhaps there's an argument to allow it. Okay, so Amira Lenachri is usually awesome in the Rabbanan. We gave a few examples, or perhaps if the Nachri does Malacha for you, it could be Heta Gomer. For the most part, it's awesome in the Rabbanan. And it doesn't matter, it's generally assumed, it doesn't matter whether it's directly you ask the Nachri, or even if it's once removed. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes him a truth of the Chavos Yoyer, who was Mako on Amira Damira. If I ask one Nachri to do something, and the Nachri asks another Nachri to do it, I ask a Nachri to ask another, you know, put the name of the telephone. So then for whatever reason, Chavos Yoyer assumed that that's not Amira Menachri, because I didn't ask the Nachri to do it. He asked the Nachri to do it. So the Chavos Yoyer, though, quotes a contemporary of his, within the Chuvas Chavos Yoyer, quotes from the Avodas HaGirshuni, who disagreed with him. He says he's wrong, Bain Misvara, and Bain from, it's against the Gemara. He said he's wrong, Misvara, because what happened to Vidaber Dover? You're still speaking about the Malacha, and even if you ask him on Friday, but he argues he's still your Shliach. Shlichus Lakum Lachumra, who says it only goes once, maybe even if it's once removed. Shlichus Lakum Lachumra. And then he says, it's against the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Masechta Shabbos, Adaf Kuf Nun, Amar Aleph, you're not allowed to be Secher Payalim on Shabbos, and you're not allowed, Lo Yomer Adam Chavero Lisko Loi Payalim. That's the language of the Mishnah. You're not allowed to ask your friend to be Secher Payal for you, a worker. Says the Gemara, who's your Chaveroi? If he's a Yid, he himself is not allowed to ask. It doesn't have to be stated he's your friend. I don't need to know he's your friend. He himself is not allowed to ask either. Says Gemara, must be Chavero Anachri, must be, as you're referring to your non-Jew. So you see from the Gemara that I'm asking a non-Jew to ask another non-Jew, that's also awesome. So it sounds like it's against the Gemara. The Chassam Sofer said, as I think it's quoted by the Mishnah Brura, as allowing it on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, there's no Vedaber Dover, there's just the Shlichus. Maybe there's no Shlichus if it's once removed. I don't know how he gets around the Mishnah and Shabbos, though, that you're not allowed to be Omer to Chavero to be Secher Poyalim. But the Mishnah Brura and Simon Shin Zayin, Sifkar and Chavdawit, quotes from Shlomo Kluger that perhaps by Shas HaChak you could be Mekel to ask Ganachri Amira Damira on Erev Shabbos, to avoid the Vedaber Dover problems. And maybe the Mishnah over there is also, maybe they'll say the Mishnah over there is also only talking about on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be Secher Poyalim on Shabbos, or ask Ganachri to be Secher Poyalim for you. But if you did it Erev Shabbos, maybe there's more room to be Mekel. But the Mishnah Brura doesn't even like it by Shas HaChak. So it's a there is such a sheet out there, but it's generally assumed to not be carry any authoritative or weight. Lamaisa.
Both of them are also.
Yeah, I don't think it's a practical solution. It's not normative, certainly. What about if I don't ask the Nachri explicitly? That was Amira Damir. What if I don't ask him? I'm just Mirames. So that Mishnah seems to imply that. That remiza is allowed, because the Gemara says you're not allowed to be Secher Poyalim on Shabbos, but I'm allowed to tell him, I'm imdi ad ha'erev. Wait around till Motzei Shabbos, you never know what might develop. You never know what might happen. You can't be Secher on Shabbos. You know, say, stick around, things might work out. So sounds like you're allowed to be meramis to the Nachri. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Siman Shin Zayin Sif Zayin that it's mutter to be meramis to the Nachri. However, the Ramah there adds in Sif Chaf Beis Shin Zayin Sif Chaf Beis, that's only if I'm not saying anything explicitly. I'm just being meramis. So there's not v'daber davar, but there is still yei shlichus la'akum l'chumra. You can be meramis, but you can't ask him to do anything on Shabbos. Like, he can't be meramis doing something on Shabbos. That whole Gemara that said you're allowed to be meramis was stick around to when. Motzei Shabbos. Ooh. So on Shabbos, I had no v'daber davar, I was only merames. And then in the shlichus la'akum l'chumra wouldn't apply either, because I only told him stick around to Motzei Shabbos. So you'd only be around to be merames to the Nachri if it's for Motzei Shabbos, but not for Shabbos itself. And the Ramah elsewhere also says the only time you'd be allowed to be merames to the Nachri on Shabbos is if it's b'makom hefsid. The Mishnah says m'shech the Shabbos, I think on Dab Kuf Chav Beis, that if you have a deleika on Shabbos in a place where it's an uninhabited, there's no sakonis nefashis, you know, which would other mitigating circumstances. On an island all by yourself where you're safe, you know. So, and there's a deleika that happens on Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask the Nachri to put it out, but you could say, call a mechabe eno mafsid. Whoever puts it out won't lose. So you're allowed to be merames. Nonetheless, we only allow that b'makom hefsid. If it's not b'makom hefsid, you can't even be merames. However, the Mishnah Brura over there in Shin Zayin Sifkar Nayin Vav quotes from the Magen Avraham that there's two types of remiza. These are limitations, that it's only if it's Motzei Shabbos. It's only if it's B'makom Hefsid. It's only if it's a more direct kind of remiza. I say, you know, I mention even the act in my whole discussion. I say, Kol HaMechabe, I mention the activity that I need. Whoever puts it out won't lose. Stick around to Motzei Shabbos, there might be work. I'm mentioning what I need done. Even though I'm not asking you to do it, I'm mentioning it. That's remiza b'derech tzivoy. But then there's remiza, which is derech sipur dvarim b'yalma. I tell you a ganze geshef, you know, a whole story, a sob story. And you somehow figure out what I need, so then that's perhaps allowed, even if it's on Shabbos, and even if it's not b'makom hefsid. The Prima Gadim, there quotes from the Rosh, that if you ask the guy to come over to your house, so that might be b'lashon tzivoy. You know, there can't be tzivoy at all. I mean, I can't go over to the guy's house and say, come over, quick, quick, quick. And then he sits down, yeah, what do you need? I start telling him the whole sob story. So Rabbi Neuberger mentioned already that there are those who limit this heter of sipur dvarim b'yalma, that you can't have any tzivoy at all. That's why the Archa Shabbos throws it out there that this whole heter of sipur dvarim b'yalma doesn't work for someone who works for me. Because I'm paying you to be here. That's pretty much derech tzivoy. Then I'm paying you to listen to my sob story. So that's the same as asking the Nachri, come, quick, quick, quick. Now I want to tell you my sob story. So that's already, there's a tzivoy. I asked you to be here. That perhaps that tzivoy undoes the whole heta of sipur dvarim b'yalma. The Archa Shabbos suggests such a thing. That this whole heta wouldn't work for someone who works for you. Also, it probably only works if it's... If it's the Nachri has no idea what you want, but if it's the third or fourth time that you're doing it and he knows the whole story already, or the Nachri, or you know, the woman who works for you knows the whole story already, again, the Orcha Shabbos throws it out if you have the heter anymore, because everyone knows what you want. It's basically like giving the guy a sign language, please come and put it out. So please come and do this malacha. So then perhaps the whole heter doesn't apply. So it's a wishy-washy heter.
So the explicit hinting is only allowed if it's a big
hafseid
and then
B'makom hafseid or B'matzah Shabbos.
And there's
always? Always, if there's no tzivoy and the person doesn't know beforehand what you're driving at.
Which doesn't exist, you're saying.
Or Shabbos throws it out there. I don't remember for the way he phrased it. He says it conclusively, but I think he raises the possibility. But I'll even limit it even more. And I don't think this came across clearly, is that the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos, even if a Nachri, on Daf Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, even if a Nachri turns on a light without me asking him, turns on a light for my benefit, I'm not allowed to enjoy the light. There are more rights in Siman Reish Ayin Vav Sif Aleph. He can't ask me, I don't have to leave the room because he turned on a light, but I'm not allowed. Let's say he turns on a light in the room. He says, oh, sir, here, please come. He turns on a light. Sit down. Now you can read. I'm not allowed to benefit from the light. I have to run out of the room, but I'm not allowed to benefit from the light. And as the Hagotz Mordechai, that's quoted by the Magen Avraham, in the name of Rabbeinu Simcha, it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, if I see him doing it, I have to tell him to stop. The Be'er Halacha and Siman Reish Ayin Vav Sif Aleph says, if the Nachri, let's say I had a light on, and the Nachri turns it off, I come back in the morning, Shabbos morning, it was on Friday night, I come back Shabbos morning, I say, what happened to my light? In my study, the Nachri says, oh, I turned it off for you. And I said, I was never supposed to be off. I told you never turn off the lights. Don't touch the lights on Shabbos. He said, I thought I was doing you a favor. So then I could say, you know, you please turn it back on. It was supposed to be on. That's him turning on the light for himself to remain in good standing. You know, that's not considered to be for me. Or it happens sometimes at weekends. A Nachri unplugs the Shabbos urn. Caterer unplugs the Shabbos urn. So then for him to turn it back on is not for me. That's for him. I think it should be the same. Nachri unplugged it, and he was told not to turn it and not to unplug it. It should be allowed. If it was never plugged in, you know, not. You have to know for a fact that it was plugged in, and he was told not to unplug it, and now he turns it off. So then he's allowed to turn it back on. Yeah, well, if I told him, you know, I say, don't do it for me, I don't want the light. He says, no, I insist, and he turns on the light for me. So then I'm allowed to benefit. Again, he did it for himself, not for me. But otherwise, you're not allowed to benefit, huh?
You can't argue the sir comes, sit here, and turns on the lights also to get your good graces.
Yeah, but that's for me. This is for him. He was in my good graces before. Now he made a mistake. He's coming to cover up for his mistake. Not. Yes?
Isn't this like separate from Amir? Isn't this like the mystic of Pir Sanhedrin and not necessarily...
All included in the Is of Amir Winachri. This is not a Noilad Shaila. Paris Hanoshim is.
If I benefit from this and I'm going to come to do it, isn't it like, should I get my.
This is all included within the Issa of Amir Wanachri. It's not only can you not ask the Nachri to do it, you cannot benefit from a halacha which he did for you.
Yeah.
All the reasons would apply.
Well, certainly not every.
Nah, but the other ones apply.
Okay. And that's why he does for his own sake and it's not shlichus for me?
Correct. He does it for himself. That's for him. If he does it for me, it's a problem, yeah.
Well, my son would do not disturb sign on a hotel room door count as telling them not to.
Do what?
Turn off the bathroom light. It happens all the time in hotels.
Of course, but they don't come in if it says do not disturb.
You said do not disturb, they still come in?
No.
No? Okay.
No. So, if the Nachri turns on a light for himself, I could benefit from the light, but we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah.
Are you allowed to say thank you if you say no, I insist, don't turn it on, and then he turns it on anyway.
Your Shiloh's on the thank you? I don't know about the thank you.
So then it's giving us a little prayer that you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's also being nice.
Yeah, I agree. So over here, Taisus asks Akasha, 1 minute, what happened to Kol Machabein Omafsid? How am I allowed to be Meramis to the Nachri sometimes to do a Malacha from even Derech, or the Magen Avraham's Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Alma, but even the more direct type of Tzivoy, which is allowed by Makom Hefsid from Matzei Shabbos, how could I be Meramis to the Nachri? If the Nachri is going to do a Malacha for me, I have to tell him to stop, and if he doesn't, I'm not allowed to benefit. So how am I allowed to benefit from him putting out the fire, or am I allowed to be Meramis to the Nachri? I should have to tell him to stop, not be Meramis to him to do it. Taisus there explains in the name of Rabbeinu Shimshon, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Lamed Dalet Tikkun Samach Aleph, that there's a difference between the different types of Hanah. Here, We're discussing the Nachri putting on a light for me. He created an avenue of Hana which didn't previously exist. Then I have to tell him to stop. And if he does it without my knowledge, but he does it for me, I'm not allowed to benefit from it. Because that avenue of Hana didn't previously exist. But if he removes a problem, but he doesn't create a new possibility for Hana. He puts out the fire. My house was here. He's not building my house. He's putting out the fire so that I can continue to benefit from my house, which always existed. That's more passive. And then I'm allowed to benefit from that, which he did. I'm even allowed to be Meramis to him to do it, but Makom Hefsid. So the whole heter of Ramiza of Dera Sipra Dvarim Bialma, which we said exists even if it's on Shabbos, even if it's not B'makom Hefsid, only applies to where it's turning something off. Let's say the alarm is going off on Shabbos. I asked the Nachri, please turn off the alarm, because it's disturbing my Shabbos. He's not creating a new avenue of Hana. Quiet exists naturally. And now he's removing this thing which is prohibiting me from enjoying my day of Shabbos. Then he's not creating a new avenue of Hana, or to turn out a light. Let's say a light on Shabbos, in a room where someone needs to sleep. There's no other room to sleep in, so you could ask the Nachri to turn out the light, or be Meramis to the Nachri. Probably ask the Nachri directly to turn out the light. We'll get back to that. But I can be Meramis to the Nachri to turn off the light. Oh, you know, no one can sleep over here because the light is on. That's Dara Sipra Dvarim B'Alma, and he's not creating a new avenue of Hana, darkness. We don't think the time to get philosophical discussion is darkness, the absence of light, you know. But he's not creating a new avenue of Hana for me to benefit from, then it would be around. But if he is, then there's no heter of Ramiza, and even if he does it on his own, I'm not allowed to benefit. If I see him doing it, I have to tell him to stop. Ramesha has an interesting shayla. What about carrying a key through a Rishis Harabim to open my door? Is that called removing an, allowing me just to benefit from my home? Is that called creating a new avenue of Hana? And Ramesha holds that's usur. And if he opened it for me, carried it through Rishis Harabim for me, I'm not allowed to benefit from the house. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. It's quoted by the Sefer Melachim Omnayach, which is by Rabbi Zilberstein. Rabbi Yashiv's son-in-law quotes the name of Shlomo Zalman, who disagrees. That's what's called removing an obstacle. That's like kol mechabein o mafsid. For Rav Meisha held, that's called benefiting from the act of the Nachri. Anyway, interesting discussion. Yeah.
If someone accidentally knocks into the light, you don't have to leave the room.
No. Happens all the time, yeah.
They then turn it off to fix it, but you really want it on. Can you ask them to turn it back on?
If they turn it off, huh?
Like the light went on, but they turned on the light by accident. They thought that was what they were supposed to do, but then they realized it wasn't, so they turned it off. But you would have rather not. Can you ask them to turn it back on?
No. Okay, but generally speaking, you're not allowed to benefit from that a malacha which the Nachri did for you, as long as he created a new avenue of Hana. So that's why the Mishnah says in Shabbos, is Gemara Masech Lizbeah as well, if a Nachri brings something for me, michutz l'tchum, there wasn't over here, and he brought it to me on Shabbos, that's called benefiting from the act that the Nachri did, I'm not allowed to enjoy it on Shabbos. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Zayin, Sif Yudaled, if a Nachri brings a letter for me on Shabbos, I'm really not allowed to open it. I'm not allowed to enjoy it. It's only if there's a suffix of pikuach nefesh. There might be a life, a matter of life and death that's in this letter. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch discusses in certain circumstances, perhaps you could open the letter. But barring those types of circumstances, would not be allowed to benefit from the item on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, quoting the name of the Gra, that perhaps the item would not be considered to be muksa. Shaiwa, is it muksa? Is it not muksa? Is the male muksa or not muksa? Ramesha discusses this. It's quoted by Rabbi Badner in his, that's the old book on Hilchos Muksa, the Muksa book. Rabbi Badner quotes the name of Ramesha that nowadays we have no issues of life and death that arrive in the mail. You would receive it through some quicker form of communication, and therefore the mail is muksa. It has no purpose on Shabbos. You're not allowed to benefit from it. It has no purpose. He there, in that Muksa book, quotes the name of Shlomo Zalman, that no, you could use it as a bookmark or a coaster. As the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkat and Nun Zayin, if it's Lotzu al-Pitz Lachosiv, you could use it as a bottle stopper. So then perhaps it shouldn't be Muksa, so the mail would not be Muksa. Shlomo Zalman, though, himself says, if it's a check or some other important document, which you would not use as a coaster, hopefully you would not use your paycheck as a coaster for your coffee, you know. So then, in theory, it could be Muksa. Okay, so Shaila, is the mail muksa, is the mail not muksa? Should you kick the mail? Should you handle the mail? If there's items in it which are documents that are, you know, shtaris, so then it also might be muksa. It's like dine mamonis, checks, things like that. But you're clearly not allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos because it arrived michutz l'tchum be'isa, and therefore you're not allowed to enjoy it. What about if you could have had this, derived this benefit without the nachri? The nachri just comes and now it makes it easier. Huh? Yeah, what? He brought this item for you. No?
But he's going to become, he's not coming to the tchum specifically for you. He's your next door neighbor. He's about to come to the tchum for it. He brings his mail and then he happens to be in the tchum. So he gives
yeah, we'll get back to it. You're right. Okay, maybe. Yeah, we'll get back to it. Yeah.
And regardless, the mail.
It still might be muksa though. It has no use on Shabbos. You can't open it. There's no matters of Pikuach Nefesh that are coming.
It's a newspaper. You can read it.
If it's a newspaper that was printed on before Shabbos. We'll get into the newspaper printed on Shabbos.
The mail is usually brought to the office that is within the tchum, and then the mailman picks it up that day. And
he's doing an isa for you though. He brought it out of the Eruv, unless your mail station is in the Eruv. He's doing hotza for you. But we'll get into it. Maybe Reba Bashirim. We'll get into it. Okay, fine. We'll get into it. Literally 2 minutes. What if I could benefit from this avenue of Hana before? Just enough, he came and he made it easier. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the name of the ghost, Maimonides, and Simirei Shai Vav Siv Dalet. Let's say I had a light on, and the Nachri came and he added a second light. So as long as I could have read with the light that previously existed, meaning I could have used this avenue of Hana, I could have read in this room, and now he just made it easier, so then I'm allowed to benefit from the light that the Nachri turned on. If you could not have read, you didn't have this avenue of Hana open to you, even though there was a little nightlight on. But it wouldn't be good reading. You would not normally have read in such a room. You could have read Ayidei Adchak, then it's allowed. But if you couldn't even have read Ayidei Adchak, so then you're not allowed to benefit from it, and you're not allowed to be allowed to use the light. Rav Moshe writes in the Truth in the Igros Moshe that let's say there's no air conditioner on, and now he turns on the air conditioner. So I could have sat in the room without the air conditioner. So do we call that I could have sat in the room Ayidei Adchak, now that he turned the air conditioner on, I could benefit from the air conditioner that he turned on, or maybe I can't benefit from the air conditioner because that's called the new avenue of Hana. So Ramesha assumes that that's called the new avenue of Hana. Because you couldn't have sat in the room with air conditioning. You could have sat in the room, but you couldn't have sat in the room with air conditioning, so you're not allowed to benefit from the air conditioning. But the Mishnah Brewer, though, in Siman Shin Chavav Sifkan Tezvav, has a difficult psak. He says, if the Nachri shines your shoes, you can't wear the shoes. That's difficult. Why? You know, you could have used the shoes Ayidei Adchak, even if they weren't shined. That's a difficult psak of the Mishnah Brewer. I think that's where Moshe quotes in the Shuvah about the air conditioning. That psak of the Mishnah Brewer is somewhat questionable. It's hard to call that a new avenue of Hana, shiny shoes versus scuffed up shoes. That I don't hear. Okay, but once, now that you can benefit from a second candle, a second light that the Nachri turns on, now can we be Meramis to the Nachri to turn on the light? If it's a second light, let's say there's one light on in the room. But you can learn, we can have a Shir Ayidei Adchak, but we can't really learn well, you can't read well, it won't be enjoyable. You can do it, but it would be difficult. Now can I be Meramis to the Nachri to turn on the light? What do you say? Let's say there's a light on in the hallway, but the dining room chandelier is not on. Can it be Meramis to the Nachri to turn on the dining chandelier? We could have opened the door and had the meal with the light from the hallway. But this is it's going to make it more enjoyable. So it should have, in theory, been allowed. Wherever there's no Heter Hana, perhaps there's I could benefit from that, which he did, and perhaps I could even be Meramis to him Zerach Sipur Dvar B'Yalma to turn it on. But this is, in fact, a stira in the Mishnah Brura. You say, often people look up this, I've been asked this Shaila numerous times, and I have a guy running over to me with a Mishnah Brura, showing me that it's mutter. Then even another guy running over with the Mishnah Brura showing that it's usser. So we said, forget it. We can't figure anything out from the Mishnah Brura. So we go to Shmir Shabbos Kochasa. It's a guy running. Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says in one place it's mutter. Then in the other place he quotes, it's usser because it's steer Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura and Shin Zayin, Sifkan Ayin Vav, says that it's mutter. But then in Simon Reish Ayin Vav, Sifkan Lamed Zayin, says that it's usser. And it's a steer in the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa also because he's loyal to the Mishnah Brura. He just quotes the Mishnah Brura sometimes. So it's a machlis steer in the Mishnah Brura, steer in the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa. And it's machlekes ha-paiskim ha-paskin. I think Ramayisha, they quote from Ramayisha that it can be allowed. And they quote from Shlomo Zalman, it's quoted in the Melachim Amnayach. I think it's also in the Mincha Shlomo that you cannot be Meramis to the Nachri to turn on a second light. I think it's an interesting discussion. What if a Nachri does a Melachim for himself? He turns on a candle for himself. So the Mishnah says, if he turns it on for me, I can't benefit from it. If he turns it on for himself, I can benefit from it because ner le'echa, ner le'meya. A candle for one is a candle for 100. If he brings something for himself, michutz l'tchum, that can you know, can be added to. See, a candle, one candle is enough for one, you know, for one is enough for 100. So I'm not concerned that he's going to add for me if I come to benefit from the candle. Because the chandelier is good for him, it's good for me. But if he brings water from michutz l'tchum, or he violates a malacha, which can be added to, let's say he cooks on Shabbos for himself, so then I'm not allowed to benefit, even though he did it for himself, you know, let's say he cooks water, not the issue of bishalach. Cooks water for himself, I'm not allowed to benefit from that item, because if we know one another, the Gemara says, because since he knows, I used it one Shabbos, next Shabbos he's going to come and cook more for me, or he'll come and bring more water for me too, so there's gzeira shem yarbe b'shviloi, then it's awesome. Okay, so that's if he does it for himself, where it just can't be added to like a candle, then I can benefit from it as long as he did it for himself. If it's something that can be added to, I can't benefit from it if he's Yisrael Hamakira. He knows me. The Gemara, though, says in Shemesech the Shabbos over there in Kufcha Bezim and Aleph, what if he does it for a group of people, some Jewish, some not Jewish, and we don't know who he's doing it for? So then the Gemara says we go based on Roiv. If it's Roiv Jews, then I can't benefit from it. If it's Roiv Nachrim, I can benefit from it as long as we don't know one another. If it's a Nachri who he knows me, he might be Marve Bishvila. If we don't know one another, then I can benefit from it. But it says in the Shulchan Aruch and Reisha and Vav Siv Beis, that's only if I don't know who it was done for. If I know it was done for the Miut Yisraelim, then it's Aser. Or if I know it was done for the Miut Nachrim, then it's Mutter. We only follow Roiv if we don't know. What if we know it was done for both? Both Jews and non-Jews. Can I benefit from it? So the Mishnah Brura and Simon Reisha and Vav Sivkot and Yud Zayin quote in the name of the Magen Avram, you know it was done for Jews and non-Jews, it's Aser. We only follow Roiv, even if it's a Miut Jews. We only follow Roiv when we're not sure. Here we know he did it for the Miut Jews, it's Aser to benefit from it. He did it on Shabbos, it's Yisr Hana. The Bir Halacha, though, over there quotes in the name of the Chai Adam and the Eliyahu Rabbah who disagree that if we know that he did it for both, then it's Mutter. As long as it's Roiv Nachrim. Roiv Nachrim, he did it for both. If it's Roiv Jews, then it's like doing it for Jews. But if it's Roiv Nachrim and Mio Jews, then it can be allowed.
Are they passing with that?
Yeah. So most Paiskim are maker like the Chai Odom. The Tiferes Yisrael has in his Kalkelos HaShabbos, which is his Hakdama to Mesech, the Shabbos. And there's a tshuva about this in the Eretz Tzvi by the Kajik Glover. Rav Meish has a tshuva about this. The Chalkis Yaakov of Yaakov Breish also has a tshuva about this. And they're all Mako, Rabbi Yaakov Breish and the Kokelos HaShabbos, the Pharisees Yisrael, discussing cruises which travel on Shabbos. So even though someone's doing malachas, the boat doesn't go on its own. There's no sails. You know, it's not the wind which is pushing the boat. There's an engine and someone's pushing buttons and driving the boat. The boat travels on Shabbos, so there's no Isser of Tchumen because there's no Tchumen al Gabi Yamayim. You couldn't travel on a train on Shabbos or a plane throughout Shabbos. It's like flying to Australia, kill the whole day Shabbos, fly throughout, you know, Shabbos. I'm not doing anything. I won't watch the movies or whatever. You can't do that because there's Tchumen. But al Gabi Yamayim, there's no Tchum Shabbos. So can you travel on a boat on Shabbos being driven by a Nachri? So if it's Roiv Nachrim, those Paiskim are Mekel. Even though they're driving the boat for you too, you're also a paying customer. They're doing it for you too, it can be allowed. Or Rav Moshe, since it's Roiv Nachrim, it can be allowed. Or Rav Moshe, or the Eretz Tzvi, the Kashuk Lover, discussing using the electricity in Chutz Laaretz. It's a big tumult using electricity in Eretz Yisrael because it's done for Roiv Jews. The malachas happen in the electrical stations on Shabbos, in the electrical plants. What about in Chutz Laaretz? How come no one ever brought it up in Chutz Laaretz, have your own generator? The answer is because it's Roiv Nachrim. Ah, they're aware that there are Jews here too and they're doing malachas for Jews. Nonetheless, since it's Roiv Nachrim, then it can be allowed. Well, let's say you're staying in a hotel and they put up water. There's a continental breakfast Shabbos morning. I've been asked this numerous times. So as long as the people, Roiv of the people, if Roiv of the people staying in the hotel are Jews, then they're primarily doing it for Jews. But if it's Roiv of the people are staying there, are Nachrim, and there's a Miut Jews, you want to come down and use the hot water on Shabbos, and they're not adding any extra for you. So then it was done for Jews and non-Jews, for all the people staying in the hotels, and I think they're adding for you, so then it would be allowed, same heter. Yeah.
Based on that, if you were to pay a coffee stand, the Dunkin' Donuts or something, well, not a Dunkin' Donuts because they're a big organization, but a mom and pop shop, if you were to pay them $1 before Shabbos, could you get a cup of coffee from there on Shabbos?
How? What?
because you pay the hotel to stay there, and you're using their hot water, and they did the malacha to make it ready for you. So here...
Yeah, they're doing it just for you, though.
No. They make a pot of coffee. Like, that's how
they make coffee. Continental breakfast in the morning. They make coffee. Yeah, I think if Rav of the people in the hotel are Jews, that's this machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Elia Rabba.
So
and
so
the
rest would say we're making. Yeah.
Huh?
With this case, with paying a, what's it called? A newspaper stand. Right? They make coffee. They don't make coffee for you. They make coffee.
Correct.
So could you pay before Shabbos and get a cup of coffee on Shabbos?
No, they're making that coffee for you. If they make it for everybody, Jews and non-Jews, that's fine. Here, you're asking for my cup of coffee. We'll get to that.
No.
Let's finish the discussion, and then you ask a question. What if that's just where they're not adding anything for me? They're not adding anything for the Jews. Because Jews, they're doing it for Jews and non-Jews. They make the same breakfast like they would do every morning. What if they add something for me, though? What if they add something for me? So the Shulchan Aruch discusses this with regards to the mail. Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Mem Zayin Sif Aleph, if you're allowed to give a mail to a Nachri Erev Shabbos, even in Chashecha, my way to Shul, I'm allowed to drop off a letter in the mailbox, because I'm not asking him to take it on Shabbos. Like dropping off dry cleaning on my way to Shul, it's all allowed. I'm not asking him to fix it, do it on Shabbos. He can do whatever he wants. He decides to do it on Shabbos, it's up to him. That's the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Mem Zayin Sif Gimel, even if he does it on Shabbos, that's a Daita Danaf Sheyovah. You can't put a letter in the mail on Shabbos that's like Mecha Chumemka. You're cashing in your stamp, or you're asking him on Shabbos. You can't drop off dry cleaning on Shabbos either. That's on Shabbos, no. But I could give it to him during the week, and if he decides to do it on Shabbos, that's up to him, as long as I don't command him to do it on Shabbos. If I command him to do it on Shabbos, then it's a problem. What about if I want him to take the mail on Shabbos? Like, most people send snail mail. You really don't care when it arrives. What if it's an express mail? I want him to travel on Shabbos. I'm being mitzvah him to travel on Shabbos. So perhaps there's room to answer that, because he's doing malacha for me. He's traveling outside of the tchum. Perhaps he's traveling, doing hoitzah.
Also, when you put it in the mailbox, it says in the mailbox they're coming tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
That's up to them. That's up to them. That's their schedule. He's letting me know his schedule. Let's say they wouldn't come. I have tainus. Yeah. You have no tainus. So the Shulchan Aruch says... Nonetheless, even by an express mail, it could be that there's room to argue that it's allowed. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Mem Zayin Sif Hey, let's say a Nachri is going in, he's going somewhere anyway, and I ask him, take this extra package for me. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's allowed. Since he's going anyway and he's carrying packages anyway, I throw on another package, then it's allowed. The Magen Avraham says, what are you talking about? How could that be allowed? He's taking an extra package for you. That's an extra Iser of Haitzah. How could you ask him to do that? But the Shulchan Aruch says it is allowed. So Sameach writes in his comments on Shabbos that it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham are arguing about whether or not Ribui B'Shiurim applies to Amir Lenachri. Is Ribui B'Shiurim mutter when it comes to Amir Lenachri, or is it Aser? Shulchan Aruch says it's allowed. Since he's doing the Melacha anyway, I ask him to add on a little bit for me. Since he's going anyway, it's allowed. Ribui B'Shiurim Amir Lenachri is allowed. I'm asking him to do something. He's doing it anyway. Yeah, he added one item for me. It's allowed. And the Magen Avraham holds Ribui B'Shiurim when it comes to Amir Lenachri is also. We don't have time to get involved in the whole discussion of Ribui B'Shiurim. Sometimes Ribui B'Shiurim is also. Sometimes Ribui B'Shiurim is mutter. What about by Amir Lenachri? Seems to be a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. And in fact, it could be a machlokes rishonim. The Gemara says in Masechtas Eruvin that if used to wash the baby in hot water and cold hot water before and after the milah. We discussed last time. What if the water spills? So the Gemara says, the water spilled once, so they asked him to bring water from a different house. They told him there's no Eruv. We discussed this Gemara when we learned Hilchos Eruvin. So then the Gemara brings up the suggestion, ask a Nachri to bring it. I'm sorry, the Gemara said, bring it because the mother's not well. The mother is a Yoledes. Let's bring the hot water for the mother. Ask a Nachri to bring it for the mother. So since they're heating up water for the mother, I forgot the whole discussion over this. Since they're heating up water for the mother, maybe we'll heat up extra water for the child. But then the Gemara says, but how are you gonna heat up extra water for the child? That's Ribui B'Shiurim. So Taisus there asks, I'm sorry, we're going to heat up more water for the mother. So then Taisus asks, how are you going to heat up water for the mother? It's Ribui B'Shiurim. So one opinion in Taisus is that it's allowed, but you're going to ask a Nachri to do it, and it's allowed for Makom Mila. The other opinion in Taisus is, you're asking a Nachri to do it, and whenever it comes to Amir Lenachri, Ribui B'Shiurim is allowed. Look over there, it's two days in Taisus and Erev and Semach Esmenah. Is Rivi B'Shiurim allowed when it comes to Amir Gunachri or not? So the Magen Avraham says it is. The Shulchan Aruch says that it is. The Magen Avraham says that it's not. So if you go with the Magen Avraham, then perhaps one can argue that, I'm sorry, if you go with the Shulchan Aruch, since the delivery man is traveling, he's not, no one is just taking my express item. The UPS guy or the FedEx guy is traveling with a whole truck full of items. So yes, he's adding one additional item, which is for me, and he's traveling, and I'm asking him to travel to Afghan Shabbos. So perhaps according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would be allowed, and according to the Magen Avraham, it would be Yasser. The only time then, according to the Shulchan Aruch, would be Yasser is if he does something that's just for me. Like, for example, I ask him, my item is so heavy that he has to stop Dafka by my house, to unload it. So he makes a stop Dafka by my house. If he's, I'm asking for a Zappos box of shoes, he could have stopped at the bottom of the block, by the gully. The fact that he decides to stop the car in front of my house, that's a daita denafshe of it. It's reasonable to stop by the Nachmi next door. What do you, walk to my house. The fact that he decides to stop by my house is up to him.
Same applies for garbage collection on
Shabbos? Garbage collection too. Yeah. Garbage collection too. What malacha are they doing by the garbage truck? I guess they're taking it outside of the Eruv. That he does for himself. I'm not even sure he does that for me. I just want it out of my property. What you do with it afterwards, I could care less. See, here I'm asking him to bring it for me outside of Haitzah. Here I just put it in the truck. So if you live in a place where there's an Eruv, there's no malacha, I'm asking him total muksa. But our garbage is machlek is whether it's muksa in the first place. In other third world countries, our garbage would be buried treasure. So it's machlek is if our garbage is muksa. But I think certainly we have muksa items in our garbage, shivri kalim and things like that, dirty diapers, that's for sure muksa. But Amir Lanachri might be mutter when it comes to total muksa, so beyond the scope of our limited analysis of Amir Lanachri. Certain types of muksa is mutter Amir Lanachri, certain types of muksa not. But either way, I guess, yeah, he's taking my stuff, unless he's not doing anything just for me, he's just driving the garbage truck, that he's doing for everybody. He could have stopped two houses down. Why is he stopping Dafka by my house? That's a dying to the Nafshe. But if I have something that's so heavy that's being delivered Dafka on Shabbos, then I don't even think the Shulchan Aruch would allow it. So again, if I'm asking him to do an express delivery on Shabbos, that would be totally the Mocholekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham would hold that to ask him to do an extra package on Shabbos might not be allowed. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, it might be allowed. I think Dayan Weiss has a truth in the Minchas Yitzchak where he's making like the Shulchan Aruch. Because it's Riba B'Shiurim and the Shulchan Aruch is Mako when it comes to Riba B'Shiurim. This is also perhaps the issue when it comes to subscribing to a newspaper. We're not discussing the propriety of reading newspapers on Shabbos, which is a whole separate discussion, even if it's printed on Friday. And because of the issue of Adab Dover and Shtari Hedyaitis, but that's a separate issue. But what about subscribing to an issue? What about subscribing to a newspaper which is printed on Shabbos? So the Maharam Shik has a tshuva where he says you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because they're printing the paper for you on Shabbos. The Deborah Tziner has a tshuva in the Be'er Moshe where he says, one minute, if they're printing the same amount of newspapers, no matter whether I subscribe or not, and the rove of the people subscribe to the newspaper, the overwhelming majority are Nachrim, so he says they're printing the same thing either way. That's the old machleish in the Chai Adam and the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham said they're doing it for Nachrim and for Jews. As long as it's rove Nachrim, then it's allowed. They're not adding anything for me, so then it's allowed. But the truth of the matter is the Metzius is not like that. If the Jews would cancel their subscription to the New York Times, they would print less New York Times. So they are adding newspapers, Dafka, for us, even though it's not for me in particular, but it is for us as a community. And if we would cancel our subscriptions, they wouldn't print the same amount of newspapers. They wouldn't continue driving the same cruise ship. The same cruise ship is going no matter how many people are on board. Here they're printing more newspapers just for the Jews. So they're doing a malacha Dafka for us. They're adding for us. So then the Maharam Shik makes the argument, perhaps it cannot be allowed. Rav Sternbach has a tshuva in the Tshuvas van Hagges that what you should do is say to the guy, please don't print my newspaper or don't deliver my newspaper on Shabbos. If he decides to print it on Shabbos and deliver it on Shabbos, that's a daik in the Nafshay, but I asked him not to do it on Shabbos. I don't know about that.
This is the problem with just getting it, not even touching it.
You're subscribing to it. If I tell the doorman every morning, go buy me the newspaper, so then They're not printing a dafka for me. I don't know, but either way, then I'm asking him to buy it on Shabbos morning. I don't see the heter. Maharam Shik says no. Maharam Shik says no. And even if I tell the guy, bring a Matzah Shabbos, you can cancel your Saturday subscription. I can call up the newspaper and say, please don't give me the Saturday Times. And they say, sorry, sir, we don't have a subscription like that runs from Friday to Sunday. So then, and they deliver it on Shabbos anyway, then I agree that's a diet to the Nafshe Oven. But you can cancel your Saturday subscription. There is such a deal. You can do whatever you want. They'll cancel your Saturday subscription. If they decide to deliver it anyway, that's a diet to the Nafshe Oven. But to subscribe to the newspaper, then the Maram Shik suggests is a potential problem. The Shemir Shabbos go chasa, they'll quote from Shlomo Zalman, that perhaps if they print all the newspapers with one push of the button, you know, so then that's like Reba B'Shiurim. If there are many runs of the newspaper, they would cancel a whole run. They would shut down a whole production plant, you know, if it were not for the Jews. So then I don't think you have the head there. But if they were, you know, if it's just one push of the button, and they print out so many Daily News or so many New York Posts, and it all comes out at once, that's Reba B'Shiurim. That's not he's adding a new malacha just for me. If it's Reba B'Shiurim, then I could hear the argument to allow it. But I think it's... I'm not even sure you're allowed to read it on Shabbos, but wherever maybe, yeah. So I think there's yesh on milismach, but I'm not advising it. Yeah.
Well, with each paper, you have to bring a raya that it's not like is this one for the Jews? Is this one for the Goyim? There's no real difference. I mean, if every single paper they got on the rack does not stand.
No, I think if you live in Des Moines, Iowa, I don't think they're canceling they're making less newspapers if the Jews would all cancel the subscription. But the New York Times, not the case.
So Shulchan Aruch talks about when the guy's making shoes and they're not anybody's yet until you go and buy it. Is that
you subscribe to it. They're making it for you.
The fact that you're Jews.
One for you. If they send them all out.
There's nothing to do with the fact that they're Jews. I mean, if individuals decide to cancel, like if they have a huge non-subscription.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
I was just wondering, with the newspaper, I would assume that all newspapers are where they just push it once. They put in like 10,000.
I would assume so too. I think it is Reba B'Shiurim. I think it's a good argument to say it's Reba B'Shiurim. Yesh, Ami Lismach, the Magen Avraham wouldn't hold of it. That's for sure. Yesh, Ami Lahachmir, the Magen Avraham wouldn't hold of it. But,
right.
Yes. Yeah.
Being the same price for this Saturday, the subscription without Saturday, and then the gala that. Doesn't matter.
I'm sorry.
If it's the same price between getting the newspaper every day except for Saturday and getting the Saturday price, isn't that Megala doesn't make a difference to them? Once you subscribe, you subscribe. Even if they give it to my chums, it's not like they
did. Oh, really?
I don't know.
Minchas Yitzchak, just one more point about the deliveries. Minchas Yitzchak makes the point that's only if it's going to be delivered on Shabbos. If let's say I would have it to be delivered, it's just traveling on Shabbos. I'm ordering something into a 2-day delivery, but it's going to come on Monday. Then they're driving the whole car. That's not even perhaps, as long as it's, I guess it might be, Sir Haitza, but Reba B'Shiurim. I guess maybe it also depends on the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. Yeah, maybe it also depends. I thought he distinguished between deliveries on Shabbos and traveling on Shabbos. But either way, there too, you have the Shulchan Aruch to rely on. As long as he doesn't have to make a stop, Dafka by my house, then that's a problem. The Shulchan Aruch and that Gemara in Masechtas Erev and Adaf, whatever it was, Samach Zayin Mabei, Samach Chesem Aruch, about the water that spills on Shabbos. So the Gemara says you could ask the Nachri to heat up the water for the Mila. So the Rishonim ask, the Gemara already asked, how could you heat up the water for the Mila? It's Amiru Nachri. The Gemara asks, well, there's a difference between a Shvus de Izbe Maisa and a Shvus de Lesbe Maisa. And over here we're talking about a Shvus de Lesbe Maisa. That's why it's allowed. So the Machlekes Rishonim, what Shvus is less by Maisa? Rav HaRishonim understand that Gemara to mean you're not asking the Nachri directly. To ask the Nachri directly is the Shvus is by Maisa. What we're talking about is the Shvus to Shvus. I'm asking the Nachri to do something which itself is only awesome in the Rabbanon. So it's the Shvus to less by Maisa, and that's why it's allowed by Makom Mila, and Makom Mila is in fact the same as all other B'Makom Mitzvah, and the Shvus to Shvus is Mutter B'Makom Mitzvah. Based on that Gemara Masechtas Erevin. And this is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Zayin Sif Hey. That Shvus to Shvus, he has two opinions. The Shvus to Shvus only mutter b'makom Mila, because Mila is such a great mitzvah, or perhaps it's mutter b'makom any mitzvah. And the Rama is Mekel that it's mutter b'makom any mitzvah. The Prima Gadim says that perhaps you can only be Mekel when the Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah. One of the Shvusim is Amiru Lenachri, because that's a Shvus Kal. However, Rav Shechter in the Bikvei Atzon quotes from Rav Avadi Yosef in a sefer called Levias Chain. On Dafka and Hilchas Shabbos, that he is a raya from Taisus and Masechtas Ksubis, the sugya of Bias Mitzvah, that is a raya that it's even shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, even where one of the shvusim is not amir l'nachri. So that's why Rav Shekler thinks that, let's say, a light is on in a room on Shabbos, and someone needs to go to sleep in that room, there is no other room to sleep in. So not only can he ask a nachri to turn off the light directly, you could ask him to turn off the light, I don't have to give him a whole sefer dvarim b'alma, because it's turning off a light is a malach shein tzrich legufa, which is one darabon, amir u'nachri is a second darabonim, but even without that, if I say I have no nachri in the house, it's uncomfortable to invite a nachri into the house, I could turn it off kalachar yad, with your elbow, because the turning off the light is the rabbanon, and using your elbow makes it kalachar yad, the shvus, b'makom mitzvah, even if one of the shvusim is not a miru nachri. And the Bir Halacha and the Chazon Ish seem to apply numerous places that one of the shvusim doesn't have to be a miru nachri. That's why the Orach HaShabbos says to ask a nachri to push, let's say, somebody in a place where there's no eruv in a wheelchair. It's all allowed as long as the place where there's no Erev is a Carmelist. That's one Shvus, asking the guy to, the Nachri to push him is a Shvus to Shvus, and if it's B'mokai Mitzvah to go to Shul on Shabbos. I don't think to go out to lunch qualifies as B'mokai Mitzvah, as Rabbi Neuberger made the point on Shabbos. Socialization, we have not yet classified as B'mokai Mitzvah, but to go to, unless it's part of his refuah, he has to get out of the house, he's sick, you know. Okay, that's B'mokai Mitzvah. But to go to Shul on Shabbos is B'mokai Mitzvah. And therefore, be a shvus to shvus would be allowed to make a mitzvah to push a stroller in a place where it's only a carmelist. So the wife get the shul on Shabbos, or the husband get the shul on Shabbos, might also be considered to be a b'makom mitzvah. Even though we are make a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, there's a tshuva by the Ksav Sofer who quotes in the name of the Rambam by Hilchas Mila that shvus to shvus is not something that should be relied on lechatchila. The Shaar HaTzion already implies like that. It's Simur Reish Mem Dalos of Kon Lamed Hey that this is a heter. B'makom mitzvah, you can make or shvus to shvus, but as Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, that many feel that this is not a policy, meaning you shouldn't make a convention in a hotel where the only way people are going to be able to get into their rooms is by stationing a nachri on every floor who's going to open the door with the key cards. That shouldn't be the way you plan an event. Others, I used to know a shul that every time the Rav spoke, he was so old he couldn't hear him, every time he spoke they had to turn off the air conditioner. And then after he was done with the speech, they turned back on the air conditioner. So every Shabbos like that. Or you have a shul that's on the fifth floor of a building, and the only way people can get to the shul is by stationing a nachri in an elevator. So you have a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah constantly. That's or you buy an apartment on the 15th floor, and the only way you can be able to get to your apartment is by taking the elevator. So shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. It's true, yes, it's shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. The question is, using the elevator is only the rabbanon. Let's assume. So then there is such a heter. The question is, should we institutionalize the heter and make it a policy? Or is this something that comes up on a case-by-case basis? In the Sefer Melachim Amnayach, he quotes in the name of Rebbe Yashiv, that if I say to the hotel owner months in advance, I say, I'm making a convention in your hotel, please make arrangements for us. And he doesn't, so then that's, shvus to shvus, b'makom mitzvah. Otherwise, to lechatchila do like that, many question. Others do make conventions like that. They do assume that this is something to be relied on as a policy. There are other trends within the paiskim to assume that shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah can be institutionalized. That's the way we paskin. We don't have to avoid it, but many are hesitant to institutionalize it in that way. Okay, yes.
Rav Shlomo Zalman, he said that by using a tzomet wheelchair, one of those things that they give older people in shul, it's one of these grandma wheelchair things, so it's definitely the b'makom mitzvah. It's, as far as I tell, only a shvus, the b'makom mitzvah, he said only Shabbos, and he says you need to get to shul, you can't get to shul otherwise. So that seems to be even further, not even shvus, the shvus b'makom mitzvah, just shvus, the b'makom.
I don't know about that. The Raman Simur Reish Ayin Vav Sif Beis quotes in the name of the Bahag a different shot. The Bala Iter. The Bala Iter's opinion was in that Gemara Mesachtas Erevin that you could heat up water on the Nachri for the mitzvah of Mila. And the Gemara says, they ask, how is it allowed? Amila Nachri is Asar on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, it's a Shvus that kind that over here we're talking about a Shvus to Les Bei Maisa versus a Shvus to Is Bei Maisa. So the Bala Iter understood that Gemara, the Shvus to Les Bei Maisa is Amila Nachri. That's what the Gemara was saying. No, it's allowed here, because this is a shvus to Les Bei Maisa. So Amir Lenachri itself is mutter. You don't need a shvus to shvus once removed, that I ask him to do only something that's Asa Midei Rabbanan. I can even ask him to do something that's Asa Midei Raisa, v'makom mila, and it's not only v'makom mila, but v'makom many mitzvah. That was the opinion of the Bala Ita. Rav Rishonim don't understand the Gemara like that, but that's how the Bala Ita understood. And the Ramah quotes the opinion of the Bala Ita that shvus amir onachu is mutar v'makom mitzvah. The Mishnah Brura over there in the Bir Halacha, Siman Reish Ayin Vav Sif Beis, quoting the name of the Chai Adam, even though we don't normally rely on the Bala Ita, but v'makom mitzvah derabim. You could rely on the Bala Ita. Let's say the Eruv falls down on Shabbos. So you could ask a Nachri to fix it. Or Rav Moshe is the case if there's no candles, or Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, there's no candles in the shul on Shabbos, to ask a Nachri to turn on the candles. Or let's say the air conditioning goes off on Shabbos, to ask a Nachri to turn on the air conditioning. Certainly the heat, you could, even if it's not the Makom Mitzvah Derabim, even if it's the heat, even the air conditioning. Just so people should daven in shul. They could go home, there's air conditioning at home here, but we can't have a minion. So a Makom Mitzvah Derabim, you're allowed to ask, or maybe even a shear. Rabbi Yashuv has a tshuva in the Kovetz Tshuvas, and the Orach HaShabbos quotes the name of Aaron Cutler to turn on the lights in shul for a shear. The Talmud Torah, the Rabbim, is also allowed. Rabbi Yashuv, in the end of the Kovetz Tshuvas, says since there's a great pirtza when it comes to Inyanei Amir Lenachri in our times, he thinks it's not kedai to be meiko on this for a shear. He thinks that we should be machmir. Rav Shechter also was hesitant to allow it for a shear for a different reason. Rav Shechter understood the heter of the Chayodim not to be a mitzvah that Rabbim are participating in, but rather a mitzvah de Rabbim, a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the tzibur, that we need a tzibur for. Like davening b'tzibur is a communal obligation on all of us, not Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is something that's an individual obligation we have to do, happen to do in a group. So he thought that the whole heter only applies for communal obligations as opposed to personal obligations. He had a whole discussion with this, but, you know, a whole shiur just on that one topic. But so the heter of the Chayodah might have its own limitations.
Except for the Ozo Mir Lenachri's only apply if they're removing something, not if they're creating an active new thing where there's a no. So
right.
At what point did we switch to suddenly saying that you can use the lights and
excellent.
Press the elevator for you?
Excellent. Okay. Amir Lenachri is also. You're not allowed to ask Lenachri to do malach for you. Not only you're not allowed to ask Lenachri to do malach for you, if he does it on his own, I can't benefit, and therefore I certainly cannot be Marami's for him to do it. I am allowed to violate Amir Lenachri, both asking and benefiting if it's b'makai mitzvah, a shvus to shvus b'makai mitzvah, or according to the Chayodah, a mitzvah to Rabbim. Not only am I allowed to, I can ask him explicitly, turn off the light in my room, because I want to go to sleep. I don't even have to give him a reason. I say, please turn off the light in my room. I don't have to be merames, I don't have to be sipur varmi alma, because it's b'shvus to shvus, turning off the light in the Rabbanan, and it's b'makai ma'inik Shabbos, b'makai mitzvah. Not only can I violate the Yisra, I'm asking him, I can violate that part of the Yisra Mionach, which involves benefiting from that which he did. Yes.
It's like electric bills in like a big shul, for example.
Yeah.
Do they turn to the janitors there? Do they turn off the lights at night and then turn them on in the morning? Is that okay?
I don't see how you're allowed to do that. What's the heter? I don't know. But to save the money?
I don't know. Because
how's that makom mitzvah? That's makom hefsid, not makom mitzvah.
Makom hefsid and then mitzvah drab in the morning when they want
to
turn it back on.
There's definitely a heter if it's turned off to turn it back on. I don't hear the heter though to turn it off in the first place. Yeah.
So is your shechti matya fixing the eruv, or is that also?
That's a mitzvah drab. It's a communal obligation to have an eruv. The mitzvah and the rav, we began with this the first year. Yeah.
Onik Shabbos is a little bit ambiguous. How do you like define like onik Shabbos? Like, oh, I want to turn it off too.
I think you have to have Yerusha Shemayim. So to go to sleep on Shabbos is called
TV on Shabbos.
That's clearly lacking in Yerusha Shemayim to say that. Yeah. No, I don't think that's earning Shabbos. I don't know though. Let's say you have a chayla. You know, I can imagine a situation where it might be earning Shabbos. I don't know. Yes. Okay. The last topic I wanted to discuss briefly is running businesses on Shabbos, which Rabbi also concluded with. There are certain businesses which have to remain open on Shabbos, either a hospital or a nursing home, which is a Yiddish Geschäft. There are many Jews in this type of business. How do they negotiate this type of situation? So there are basically three heterim, if you learn the Sifrim and Simanim and Shulchan Aruch, the word sign. There are basically three heterim, if you call them all together, three heterim that are possible solutions to this issue. Some more recommended than others. The first possibility is to sell the business to the Nachri. Just like on Pesach, we sell our chametz to the Nachri, and he pays a little bit of money, and the rest is zakah v'lav b'milveh. He agrees to pay the rest by a certain date or sell us back the chametz. So too, you could make such an arrangement for Shabbos. You sell him for all the Shabbos throughout the year, and he'll give a token amount, and the rest will become due at some point, or he could sell us back the business. And and make such an arrangement, just like we have by Mechiras Chametz. So this is brought up by the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Mem Vav Sif Katan Lamed Aleph, this type of situation with regards to selling an animal before Shabbos. The Bir Halacha also discusses it over there in Sif Hay. Now, generally speaking, the Bir Halacha is not happy about this. He says you can only be Meiko B'Shas Harchag Godo to make such an arrangement. And Rav Moshe has a Negris Moshe, Rav Yaakov Breish, the Chalkas Yaakov, Dain Weiss, and Minchas Yitzchak. And not happy about this. It's well known that Rav Soloveitchik was widely opposed to this. If you try and get a shtar mechira, you know, to make such a shtar, the RCA has one, but they only give it out based on special request with a cover letter that, you know, beware, because Rav Soloveitchik was against it. And either way, it's not worth requesting it. I have requested it. It's a useless letter. I mean, it's too much boilerplate, and the whole thing is left out. It's, you know, there's more blank lines than what's written, because I guess they're really not really opposed. The RCA policy seems to be opposed to this practice. At the same time, in many circles, this was done. And many argue, what's the difference between this and selling chametz on Pesach, which is commonplace? Why can't you sell a business on Shabbos? Now, those who argue against it say there's a difference. Selling chametz on Pesach, we're avoiding an Iser of Bal Yiroa Bal Yemotze. So to sidestep around an Iser, perhaps, is legitimate. However, over here, you're avoiding a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah saseh of Shabbos on Shabbos, to enjoy, you know, to rest from Malach on Shabbos. So it's not only avoiding an Iser, you're avoiding an Aseh. So to make a haroma around the mitzvah saseh is more questionable. So that's why many treated it differently than a Mechiras Chametz. Also, Mechiras Chametz has become, you know, more serious of an endeavor. To sell the businesses is still somewhat a little bit more of a shady type situation. Nonetheless, in many circles this was done and continues to be done, particularly in Chassidish circles. It's well known that the Divrei Chaim, the Tzan Zerov, was making like this, to do Mechiras on Shabbos for businesses. He held it was a mitzvah to do it. In fact, his son, the Shinover, would not do it, the Divrei Yecheskel, would not do it, and he wouldn't allow him to walk into the home. He told him he had to climb in through the window. He couldn't come in the front door because he said, Klal Yisrael needs these haterim. And since he was machmer on it, he wouldn't let him walk in the front door. So it's well known that there were many paiskim who were mako like it and continued to be mako like that, despite the objections of other paiskim. So that's one option, but it's a little controversial. Second option is to have a legitimate shutfis with an achri. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Mem Hei Sif Aleph, if you have a shutfis with an achri, what you can do, but you have to do it when you buy the business, is to assign days. I say the achri, you have Shabbos, I'll trade you Shabbos for Monday. Monday is all me, Shabbos is all you, and our profits are distributed accordingly. In order to do that, though, Rav Schechter has argued, he has to have own a seventh of the business, at least. It can't be the guy owns, you know, 1% of the business, and he takes all of Shabbos, but he doesn't get 1/7 of the profits. He felt that was too much. But at least if you have a legitimate shutvis with an achri, you can make such an, you know, perhaps such an arrangement. Not everyone subscribes to that type of chumrah that he has to own 1/7 of the business. If he has a legitimate shutvis, perhaps is what to argue that you're selling to him the business for Shabbos, you know, at a price, and then it's or you're assigning to him the work that's occurring on Shabbos, he's doing a da'ati d'nafshei. You can make such an arrangement as a shutfis with an achri. But many times, most people involved in these type of businesses do not want to take a nachri as part of the shutfis. It's a family business or whatever. They're not prepared to take a nachri and just to avoid the problem of Shabbos. So there is another solution, which is, as we see the endorsement of many of the Sfarim in Hilchos Shabbos and the contemporary Paiskim, it's much more widely accepted. And that is, the Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Yud Zayin Mebeis, you can give malacha to an achri to be done on Shabbos if it's bikablonis. I don't ask him to work, I don't pay him by the hour, I pay him by the job. Like I could give the dry cleaning to the achri on Shabbos, or I could give him my car to fix, I'm paying him to do a job. So kablonis is mutter on Shabbos, if he does it on Shabbos, with two limitations. Kablonis is mutter, because it's considered to be a da'at d'nafshei, but I'm paying you to do a job, you decided to do it on Shabbos, that's on your cheshbon, not on mine. However, there's two limitations to this. And that is, the Shulchan Aruch says in Simiration and Beis Sif Beis, is based on the Rishonim over there, is that I cannot ask him to work on Shabbos. I can't ask him to please fix my car on Shabbos. If I ask him to fix my car on Shabbos, it's a problem. It has to be that he decided to work on Shabbos on his own. If I'm a chayvim to work on Shabbos, the heter doesn't apply. And the Shulchan Aruch says in Simiration and Dal Sif Aleph, in the name of Taisis, it can't be that it's Bebeis or Shal Yisrael, or that it's Nikar, that it's my car. Rav Schechter always used to give the example that Dr. Lamb couldn't have his car fixed in this fashion on Shabbos because he used to have the license plate YU1. So everyone would know that's his car. So then it's Nika that it's a malacha that's for a Jew, even if it's bekablonus. Even if he didn't ask him to fix it on Shabbos, he would not. Couldn't have the Nachri fix his car on Shabbos, sit there outside, you know, picked it up on the stand while you won. He's fixing it, he's in there. Then it's usher. Even kablonus would be usher in that type of situation. That's why, let's say, to have a janitor, that's what I don't understand, to have a janitor who has to vacuum once a week, he cannot pick Shabbos to do his vacuuming. It's Bebeis or Shol Yisrael, even though I'm not paying him to do a dafka on Shabbos. Or I have a nachri who has to do the wash in my house. That's what we pay her to do. And she can decide to do it during the week or on Shabbos. She cannot choose to use the washing machine on Shabbos. That's Bebeis or Shol Yisrael. Or if I have a nachri who works in my law office, I'm not asking him to work on Shabbos. He has work that he has to get done. He wants to come into my law practice and work on Shabbos. You can't do that, even though I don't pay him by the hour. He'll bill the client per hour. He's not billing me per hour. I'm paying him to do his work. Still, you can't do it on Shabbos. That's Bebeisel Shol Yisrael. You have a limitation on this heter of Bekablonus. If it's Bebeisel Shol Yisrael, or it's Nika, that it's for Yisrael, then it's Aser, and he cannot command him to do it on Shabbos. What if? Why? Because of the Maris Ayin that's involved. What if, though, it's Nika? Everybody knows when I hire a contractor to build my house for me that it's Bekablonus. What is the Maris Ayin? What's the fear? That I asked him to do this on Shabbos for me? Everyone knows when you hire, you build a house, unless you're a very handy fellow, you are contracting out the whole thing. It's all Bekablonus. I'm not paying anybody by the hour. He's paying people by the hour, the contractor. I'm not. So what is the fear? So Bir Halacha says, perhaps where everybody knows it's done Bekablonus. See, a person you pay to work for you on Shabbos, you pay by the hour. I pay my maid by the hour. Most people pay their maids by the hour. So, but you might think I commanded them to do it on Shabbos. What if everybody knows when you build a house, I'm not asking you to build it on Shabbos, and it's Bekablonus? What's the fear? So Bialoch is not sure if there's such a heter over there. Even if everybody knows it's Bekablonus, even if everybody knows that you're not paying the guy by the hour, and even if everybody knows I didn't ask him to work on Shabbos, perhaps it's still not allowed. So that's why you can't have a contract to build your house for on Shabbos for you. Bialoch quotes like that from the Noi de Yehuda. Sorry, I think he quotes from Noi de Yehuda's Meiko, and then he quotes from the Chayyadam who's Machmir. Noi de Yehuda wanted to say, if everybody knows, what's the fear? Then he quotes from the Chayyadam who's Machmir on that. Rav Moshe felt, I think, Meikra didn't, he could have been Meiko, like the Noi de Yehuda. If everybody knows, what's the fear? Everyone knows it's a Daitid and Avshayah, but everyone knows I give my car and I can't have it fixed after that Shabbos. And it's Kablonus. However, Rav Moshe is not willing to be Meiko on Shabbos. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, Rav Moshe is Meiko, even though you can't ask an Achri to do Malacha for you on Chol HaMoed either. If everyone knows it's Bekablonus, we can be Meiko like the Svar of the Noi de Yehuda. So you can have a contractor continue to build your house on Shabbos, on Chol HaMoed. That's what Rav Moshe says, but not on Shabbos. But that's what should have been Meikra Adin. What if it's been Mokam Hefsid? I can't have my business. You can't have a business like that. So then perhaps we could be Meiko Bekablonus, even if I command them to work on Shabbos, and even if it's Bebeisel Shol Yisrael. That's what the Shulchan Aruch discusses, the Siman Reish Mem Dalet Siv Vav. He says, the quotes in the name of the Maharami Rutenberg, that let's say a Jew owns a business that he collects taxes, and he gets a percentage from the taxes that he collects. So he says, you're allowed to maintain the business on Shabbos as long as you give to the Nachri to handle the Shabbos collections. Because that's Bekablonus. I'm sorry, I give him Bekablonus that whatever he, how does it work? He gets, whatever taxes he collects, he gets a percentage of or something like that. We make such an arrangement. Even though I'm asking him to do it on Shabbos, even though it's Bebeis Shol Yisrael, it's my business, everybody knows it's my business. Nonetheless, since it's Bekablonus, he gets paid for the job. He doesn't get paid per hour, he gets paid for the job of collecting taxes. He doesn't get paid per hour. Then, even though I'm asking him to do it on Shabbos, even though it's Bebeis Shol Yisrael, it could be allowed but Makom Hefsid. Or the Shulchan Aruch has it Simei Reish Mem Gimel Sif Aleph. If I have a field that I work, I could give it to a Nachri by Risus, where he gets a percentage of that which he earns, that which he works on Shabbos. He gets a percentage that's considered to be like a Daita D'Nafshei Ovan. So Kablanus also is really a Daita D'Nafshei Ovan. I'm telling him to do a job. He decides to do it on Shabbos. So, or if I tell him to do it, even if I tell him to do it on Shabbos, but he's getting paid by the job, not by the hour, so it's kind of like a daita d'nafshei avad, so then perhaps it could be allowed, even though I command him to do it on Shabbos, even though it's Bebeis Shol Yisrael, as long as it is Bekablonus, or he gets a percentage of the profits.
That's a Maris Ayin?
There is a Maris Ayin, but it's Mutar B'Makom Hefsid. So the whole business. And Rav Moshe writes, Menias HaRevach is also considered to be Makom Hefzeh. Losing profits, not having been able to maintain the business, is also considered to be Makom Hefzeh. So that's what the contemporary Poskim endorse, is if you have one of these types of businesses, is to hire a management firm. Let's say you have a nursing home. Hire a management firm to handle all the runnings of the business. I hire them to run it bikablonos. They are paid by the job. Run my business for me. Run my nursing home for me. And they, everyone is employed by them. Even though I'm asking them to do it on Shabbos, that's bikablonos. And bikablonos, yes, it's true. So that's kind of like a daita d'nafshei of it. Conceptually, I'm not really asking him to do, I'm not paying him by the hour. I'm asking him to do a job for me. To do the job for me is kind of, removed. So as long as it's bikablonos, even though I'm not paying him by the hour, it's not direct, I'm asking him to work on Shabbos, even though it's a bebesel shal yisrael, everyone knows the nursing home belongs to me. If I hire a management firm and everyone works for the management firm, then perhaps it can be allowed. Or if I give, I hire a nachri, a manager of the home, and I give him a chelok of the profits. So then also, that's even better. Then he's really doing it a diet at the nafshei of it. That would be the best. Yeah.
But in case of a nursing home or a hospital, even if we're talking about, like, if you try to say, okay, business is closed for Shabbos, everyone get out, that's almost bikuach nefesh, or... For
a cholish, I mean, in these cases, it's even food to be even. Yeah, but there's many things that go on there, not a miro, and they're not pikuach nefesh. Cook lunch. What's that miro? What's that? When you're going to cook lunch, what's the after cooking lunch? No one's going to die over Shabbos to cook lunch.
Well, it's the same thing with the stitches. Right? I mean,
if you're running a hospital,
I think
you're running a nursing home and all the food is cooked before Shabbos, and the only thing that go on Shabbos is pikuach nefesh, or taking care of a chayla she'ein bo sakana where miro v'nachri would be allowed. I agree with you. So you could run a nursing home in a kashya way. I would encourage people to do that, and their abal batim will do that. But you have to cook all the food before Shabbos to make sure no other things go on Shabbos that are not kedas or kedin. But many times that's not the case. So in which case you have to try to make alternate arrangements. See, the one of the suggestions that we made. Okay.